The scripture reading for this evening, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 11, and Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to conform your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. We have this, a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Indeed, it's a great joy for me to be able to once again be here after 10 and a half years of silence, absence, being able to share with you from God's Word. For those of you who are very fond of looking for conspiracy theory, I'd like to put it right across to you this evening before I begin my sermon, is that there's no conspiracy theory here in the sense that today you got three jabs on the topic of hope. Because this morning you opened the bulletin, you saw an article of the pastoral reflection written by Elder Wilson Teng. And then you heard the sermon from Pastor Darrell, also on hope. And then here am I also talking to you about hope. So I think today you really have three jabs on the topic of hope. So it is not that we sat together and discussed what shall we preach on this last day of 2023. So we have no intention of doing that, okay? But somehow, as we said earlier, and well said by Chai Ha, that I think this is the divine providence of God, how he orchestrated three persons' mind to orchestrate this whole way that we come up with this idea that as we end this year, we know that we live in a very troubled world, with two wars going on, with a lot of suffering, and pain, whether it's at the international scene, macro level, or whether it is in your own personal life, there is so much pain going on. And so it is so appropriate that as we have just celebrated Christmas and as we are about to say bye-bye to 2023 and begin to welcome 2024, we need to refocus on this whole idea of what is the Christian hope. So today, as I'm going to begin, I want you to turn to one another and say to each other, I know it's a watch night service, but a watch night service. So turn to each other and say that, watch and listen. Don't watch and pray. Because you watch and pray, you close your eyes and that's it. And then we wake up, it's 2024 already. Okay, so please say, watch and listen. Okay? Yeah, so please don't watch and pray. Watch and listen. Okay, come, let us pray. Almighty God, we are so grateful to you for giving us this opportunity that as we come to the close of 2023 and begin to welcome 2024, we have been given the privilege of coming here together as a congregation to worship you and to hear your word, to hear your voice. Lord, speak, for we are listening. For we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like to ask a question. What is hope? What is hope? For some people, hope is nothing more than just a wish, perhaps a desire, perhaps a dream, or perhaps just something that you are just simply wish that it will happen, or perhaps maybe never happen. But whatever it is, this is some kind of wishy-washy thing. But my question here is, as we come to this part of the year, entering into 2024, amidst the world's suffering and our own personal suffering, we need to revisit this whole idea about what does hope mean according to the gospel, according to the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hope, let us look at this, 1 Peter 1:13. It says that, therefore, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Right in this verse, we are given this definition of hope, because hope is something that is anchored in a person, and the person is Lord Jesus Christ. And hope has a prospect. It is something for us to look forward to when Jesus Christ is revealed. He's been revealed to us once, as we just celebrated Christmas. He will be revealed again for the final time when he comes again. But hope is definitely more than just about in Christ for the prospect, but there's nothing relevant for the present. No, according to the gospel, hope has very much relevance for now as we live in between the two times of the birth of Jesus and the second coming of Christ. When I think of hope, one picture comes to my mind, and that is the picture of an anchor. Now, I was never a BB boy, and wrote as a BB boy, but I have been a BB chaplain for many years in the first company. So you know that the anchor is the emblem of the BB, and it's actually anchored in this verse, Hebrews 6:19. And so we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. So of course, the BB, you can see the emblem and the anchor, and then at the bottom, sure and steadfast. I can see someone nodding and agreeing, because these are the old BB boys. Yeah. So the thing is, when I think of the picture of the anchor, so I want to show you a picture that will summarize this whole entire sermon. So in case you forget about a lot of things I've said this evening, but you can remember the picture. So this evening, I'm going to share on this about hope. With the picture of hope anchor at the center, and that there are two aspects of hope that we want to look at, principles and products. And under principles, we have Christ's promises. And then on the products, the outcome of bearing that hope, that is perseverance and character. So let us take a look at each of this. Hope begins with faith in Christ. Hope begins with peace with God, as what Romans chapter 5, verse 1 tells us. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So, hope begins with our reconciliation to God through Jesus. But to appreciate fully about this hope that we have in Christ after being reconciled with Jesus, having that peace which gave us this hope, we need to appreciate fully how hopeless you and I were before we come to have Jesus in our life. And so we're going to go look at what were we previously. Previously, we were objects of God's wrath. Ephesians 2:3 tells us that we were objects of God's wrath. Like the rest of the world, we will live craving after our own desires according to the flesh. And so we made ourselves into objects of God's wrath. And then previously, we were dead in sin. What hope is there for us to talk about when we're dead? I like the late Billy Graham, how he described us as the state of life before we are in Christ. We are dead in sin, and so we still go about our life, achieving things, doing this, doing that, going about our daily activities. He called us the walking dead, which I thought was very appropriate, because we were actually the walking dead, dead in sin, but we still go about trying to achieve this, trying to achieve that, thinking that we live forever, but we were already dead in sin. So when you are dead, there is no hope. And then another thing is that previously we were once in darkness. We were in darkness. When there's darkness, there's no light. Light gives life. And the Bible tells us that God is light, God is love. And so without love, without light, there is no hope. And previously, we were enemies with God. Now, this is a very strong word that Paul uses in Romans 5. He said that while we were weak, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But why did Paul move on to use the third word to describe us? He said, while we were enemies, Christ died for us. You must understand, you and I are not occasional and oops sinner, meaning like, oh, oops, I broke God's law. Oops, I disobeyed God. Oops here and oops there. It's like unintentional, accidental. We are not accidental sinners. We are professional sinners. We are expert sinners, meaning that the way we conduct our lives, the way we live our lives, we are at every corner, at every bend, we are always bending on breaking God, rebelling against God. And that's why Paul uses the word that we were God's enemies. So such were we. And then, so no wonder, if God is light, if God is life, if God is love, and we are living under his wrath, what hope is there? Was there for us? Obviously, we were hopeless without Christ. And so Hebrews 9:27 tells us, for it is appointed man to die once, and after this, judgment. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6 that we were dead to sin but alive in Christ. I'm sure you come across this saying in Chinese where it says that, 活着就好. As long as you have life, there is hope. But I'd like to modify this common saying. 活在基督里就是希望. To be living in Christ itself is a blessing. It brings hope. It is hope itself. And not only are we forgiven or pardoned sinners, we are also being made to become God's children, sons and daughters of God. Now, what this means, you must think of it, we were hopeless without Christ. We are on the road to destruction. We are on the road to facing God after death as our judge. But now, we don't see him as our judge anymore. In death, we will see God as our Father because we are his children. That's what Paul tells us in this Romans chapter 8, verse 15 to 17. So faith begins with Christ. It anchors in the person of Jesus Christ. That is the solidness of our Christian faith. Our hope is built and anchored in Christ. The second thing I want to say is that hope builds on God's great and precious promises. So what this means is that we're going to look at these two verses in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. He says that according to his divine power. So all God's promises are not empty promises because they are rested on his power. This morning we heard Pastor Darrell talk about God's mighty hand. We are shielded by his mighty hand. And there's divine power that God's promises are being able, they are not empty promises, but really promises that will be able to carry through because of his divine power. And that his divine power has given us everything that we need. So you can see a superscript there, provision one. So I'm going to break down the verse for us. That has given us everything that we need. When God makes promises in his word, it is not just for spiritual salvation. It is solidly built for us to live our life here in between times. The birth of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus. He has given us everything that we need, both spiritual and material. What's the purpose? For his glory and goodness. Ultimately, all that God does for us, for salvation, pardoning our sin, putting us in Christ, is for his glory and his goodness. And that all these are entailed in his great and precious promises. And that two things will happen when we build our hope in God's promises. That you may participate in the divine nature of God, and that escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. What this means is this, that the hope that we have in Christ comes to us as good news. And God has given us this hope to build on his promises. And these promises are supposed to help us to escape the corruption from the world so that we may participate in the divine nature. So that is something that we need to understand, that our hope has to be built on, strengthened, solidified by the promises of God in his word. It's so wonderful for us to hear Paul saying in this 2 Corinthians 1:20, that all our hope is anchored in the great and precious promises of God, because all the promises of God in Christ Jesus is yes and amen. I remember as a very young Christian, when I came across this verse, I was so excited about this, that in Jesus, all the promises of God are yes, in Christ. This is a chorus that we used to sing in the 70s and early 80s, which we don't sing today. It's a simple chorus, but I thought it's a very wonderful chorus to remind us. It's a happy day, and I thank God for the weather. It's a happy day, I'm living it for my Lord. It's a happy day, and things are going to get better, living each day by the promises in God's word. Yes, this is how we build our hope. It's live every day I'm living it for my Lord, and because I'm living each day by the promises of God in his word. So the third thing about, okay, so we have finished the principles of hope. Anchoring in the person of Christ, anchoring the promises of God and his word. And then now we come to the product. If we bear this hope in our life, what outcome should there be in your life, in my life? One is the perseverance. Hope brings forth perseverance with joy. Now, you know that the last 3 years, we have gone through a very difficult time worldwide through the COVID-19 pandemic. And one of the things that were highlighted by the World Health Organization and also many governments around the world, and especially our Singapore government, till today, I mean, now that we're coming out of it, still talking about it, and that is about mental health. When we look at some of the statistics in Singapore, over the last few years, it's really troubling in the sense that we do see a rise in anxiety, depression, and we also see some of these mental health challenges leading to suicide. And what is also troubling about the statistic on suicide is that we have two tier ends. One is concerning the seniors, those in the 60s, 70s, and those who are between the age of 15 to 29. So it's really troubling. So my question here is that, why suicide becomes an option for people who are facing depression and difficulties in life? It's because of the lack of hope. There's an overall sense of this hopelessness. There's nothing for the person to look up to or to look forward to. So suicide is being considered as an exit, an end for their suffering. But unfortunately, life cannot be lived like the way we play our computer game. Some of us are not gamers, but I'm sure you have a handful in your hand. We play some games. And so sometimes you make a mistake. And then you say, I made a mistake. So you know that you're going to lose, you're going to score very lousy. Really. So what you do, you wish you could end the game or exit the game and then play another round, start all over again. But life is not like that. Life is not like that. But some people, somehow they think that that was the only option open to them, is to end and to exit. So when there's lack of hope, there is nothing for us to look up to and look forward to. There is no power or motivation to persevere. There is no reason for us to wake up. I'm not talking about those kind of blues that you and I, from time to time, we have that feeling of blue, feeling of just a little depressed. I'm talking about people who wake up every day to tears, to pain, and to meaninglessness and hopelessness. For people like this, if you're in that category feeling now, it's best that you talk with somebody. That's the title of the book, actually. You can get it from the National Library. And it's true. For people who are going through that, it's good that you talk to somebody. Now, so my question here is that hope, the Christian hope, should produce in you and I that motivation for life, that passion for life. And that as we go through difficulties, we go through depressive moods in life, we have this perseverance. And not only having perseverance, we have perseverance with joy. Some time ago, I was doing my quiet time, and then I read the scriptures. And then, you know, sometimes we do read the scriptures regularly. Nothing happens. There's nothing special. But there are days. These are called the aha moment. That kind of like, wow. Suddenly, the words on the pages of scriptures just staring back at you alive. And so this was one of those moments when I look at this Hebrews. Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 12, 2 to 3. You know that Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 tells us, therefore we have such a great crowd of witnesses, let us run the race with perseverance. You know, one of the things about growing up here in Prinsep Street, I spent here for three over decades. Every time I preach here or I worship here in this sanctuary, I'm reminded of all the saints who have gone before us. And it's wonderful. Whether you know them or don't know them, but at least there's one of them, I met him in person. That's Richard Ng. Right? At least he's one person that I've met in flesh and blood. Okay, the rest of them I don't know, but I read about them. The thing is that, but there's a greater motivation to run our race with perseverance. And that is verses 2 and 3. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. And those words just stood up that morning. Jesus didn't go to the cross duty bound. Jesus didn't go to the cross simply fulfilling, obedient. Jesus went to the cross, knowing the pain awaited him, he went with joy. Joy of fulfilling the Father's will. Joy of delighting the Father, and the joy of obtaining salvation for you and I. Why should we focus on Jesus and focusing on Jesus, persevering with joy? So that you and I will not grow weary and lose heart. Isn't it not true? When you go through difficult times, the hardest thing is to tell yourself that you can carry on. You feel tired, and you feel like giving up. And so, the Hebrew author tells us, we have greater witness, not just the crowd of witnesses, but let's fix our eyes on Jesus. So this is the solid hope that we anchor in the person, Jesus. And not only we anchor our hope in him, but we want to be like him. And this brings me to another song, a chorus, that we used to sing, and we don't sing anymore. And it's a very simple one. It says here, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask is to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to heaven, all I ask is to be like him. So this is a challenge for us. Now, come to the last part. Hope bears fruit of character. So the Apostle Paul and Apostle Peter both agree that hope brings character, because in Romans 5, Paul talks about the reconciliation with God, the peace with God brings hope, and hope brings character. And 2 Peter, the Apostle Peter tells us there's this list of what we call virtues or traits of character that we should bear. And we should work on them, adding on, as if we are building on. It's telling you that it's a process. Now, I'm not going to run through the list because that could be a sermon series. But the thing is that we need to understand, the Apostle Peter tells us, for this reason, if you refer back to the earlier verses, he was, introduction, the first two verses, talking about the living hope that we have in Jesus. And so, if this is the hope that we have, then for this reason, we should grow in Christian character. This list of character traits is quite similar to the fruit of the Spirit, which ultimately, when you compare the fruit of the Spirit, you look at them, we often say that it's also the Christ-like character, because we found these traits in Jesus on his earthly life, during his earthly life on earth. His life on earth. So here, for this reason, going to be Christ-like. And that make every effort. Now, there's this paradox here. We know that all our salvation is all of God, but yet we are being invited to collaborate with God, to respond to God, to allow him to work in us through the power of his Spirit. And so Peter says that don't be lazy. Make every effort. That is to spare no effort, be diligent, do not neglect. So this is calling us to participate with diligence, with heartfelt diligence. And then to add, build on, make progress. So he tells us that there's this process. It's not a once-off thing. Therefore, you pray the sinner's prayer. That's it, the end. But very often we miss this point, that there's this process of God shaping you, using you, so that you can become more like Christ. And so he says that there's this increasing measure. When we are growing in Christian character, it will yield two consequences. One is that it prevents us from being unproductive and ineffective in bearing witness for Christ. It also prevents us from being nearsighted or blind, and even spiritual amnesia. So when you look at this, is that when you are not growing as a Christian, now sometimes it's very sad. When I look at myself, I look at people, when we're not growing, there's a danger. Because when you and I are not growing in our Christian character, our cultivating virtues of Christ in our life, 10 years as a Christian, 20 years as a Christian, you are still as selfish person as you were before. You are still as mean as you were before. You are still as, how would you say, materialistic as you were before. So he says that when we are not growing, then what happens is that we are short-sighted. When a person is short-sighted, he can't see far, which means you begin to lose sight of the future. So as a Christian, you lost your hope in the future. And then you become blinded. You totally blinded to the, not just the future, but what God is doing here with you in your life. And worse, you lost your sense of identity. You forgot that you have been cleansed from your sin. So there's this kind of regression process. When we are not growing because of the hope in us, because of Christ. So this is a very stern warning. And so my good friend in 14th century, Thomas A. Kempis, tells us, if men use as much care in uprooting vices and implanting virtues as they were in discussing problems, there will not be so much evil and scandal in the world, or such laxity in church. In other words, if you and I are making progress, make as much effort, maybe next year, 2024, your resolution shouldn't be losing more weight, running more mileage, clocking faster timing for your running, like me, sometimes get too obsessed with that. And so, maybe next year, your resolution should be, what weakness in my character that I want to work at? Or what fruit of the Spirit that I want to cultivate more positively? If we work on one each year, as what this Thomas A. Kempis say, what impact and influence we will have on our society, and what more within the church. So, brothers and sisters, to sum it up, Truth for Life, as we look into 2024, my encouragement to you, regardless of your story currently, what is happening to you, and despite what is happening in the world, we are people of hope. And we live in a world where people are at war with God and with themselves and with one another. People are hopeless without God, and people are desperate to embrace hope. They are waiting for hope to be in flesh and blood. And the only way it can happen is through people like you and I, the church, living out this hope, being firm and steady in the hope, and being fruitful in our character. Then the world will see that this hope indeed is embodied in the people of God because of the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God have mercy on us as we enter into 2024, that we will hold up this hope to a hopeless world. Amen.